There is more and yet more to be learned. And how good God is that he has wanted us to learn, wanted us to know himself. We never could have known God at all had he not been willing to reveal himself to us. Our study in John's Gospel at this time is on the subject of the glory of God in Revelation. And you'll find this in the 9th chapter. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by means of 8 signs in the Gospel of John, is presented to us as one in whom we can put our confidence. These things are written that we might believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing we might have life through his name. John chapter 9 tells us about a blind man. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither have this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How are thine eyes open? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went, and washed, and I received his sight. Then follows an account of an argument between this man and the Jews, who just couldn't give the Lord Jesus credit for anything. They were very unhappy about his healing people on the Sabbath day. So they asked a number of questions, and finally the man said, Well, will you be his disciple too? Is that why you're asking so much? And then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Then the man met the Lord Jesus again and really understood who he was. The Lord asked him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. The Lord Jesus is properly the object of worship. That man did perfectly right in worshiping him. And of course, if the Lord Jesus Christ was not God, he should not be worshipped. But he accepted worship because he was doing this miracle to show that he was indeed God manifest in the flesh. Now, God wants us to know him. Sin came in and blinded the human race so that people lost their knowledge of God. We're told in the first chapter of Romans that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them up. In John 1 and verse 18, we read, No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, or told him out, or made him known to us. It would be utterly impossible for us to know God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, in verse 27, in his own words, he said this, No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So if you're going to know the Father, you've got to know him through the Son. In fact, he made the claim in the 14th of John, in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, if you'd like to know God, you must come to know him through the Lord Jesus Christ. What is God like? Well, don't sit down and try to imagine. Don't read the philosophers and hope that they'll be able to tell you, for they were in darkness themselves. How am I to know what God is like? I know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the revealer, and it is His glory as the Son of God to reveal God to us. In the 17th chapter of John, in verse 3, we're told, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." So I'd like to help you at this time to get to know God. Now, first of all, this is not something that depends upon our own thoughts and imaginations. Back in the second book of Kings, chapter 5, you have the story of a leper by the name of Naaman. Naaman was a very great man, but he had leprosy. When Naaman first came to the prophet, he said, "I verily thought." Now, there's nothing wrong with a person thinking, but you ought to be able to test your thoughts and find out if they're right thoughts. And he had wrong thoughts. He was wrong. He was sincere, but he was wrong. Being sincere, you know, won't keep you from dying if you take poison. Being sincere won't keep you from getting arrested if you're going too fast, although you might have thought you were in the zone that allowed it. You must know. You can't just think about these things. And after Naaman was cured, then he said, "Now I know that there is no God but in Israel." Well, knowledge of God is progressive. We don't learn it all at once. In Colossians, the first chapter, we have three phases of knowledge. First of all, he says, "Since ye knew the grace of God in truth." Now, that is what we might call elementary knowledge. When I first received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I knew the grace of God in truth, and so did you if you have trusted Him. You have learned God's grace. You have come to a knowledge of salvation and of sins forgiven through the grace of God. But then he says we're to go on and develop into the knowledge of His will. He's given us His Word so that we can know His plans and His ways, and we can know His will in His Word. And if you're a believer, you certainly ought to be studying His Word every day so as to get to know God better. God loves to reveal Himself, and He reveals Himself to us through His Word. The Holy Spirit of God is the great teacher here in this present age, but the Lord Jesus said, "When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He shall guide you into all truth." And the Word of God, of course, is the truth. Then the third kind of knowledge, or rather the third phase of knowledge in Colossians 1, is increasing in the knowledge of God, going on to really know God. Now, I may say I know a person if I've just met him. We don't have another word for it, but if I've associated with that person for many years, then I could say, "Oh, yes, indeed, I know him." Now, God would like you to know him in this way. It's possible to know God better than you can know any human being. We have these three phases of development in knowledge in the second chapter of 1 John. He writes, first of all, to the children, because the children have their sins forgiven and they know the Father. Now, every child of God has this. If God is not your Father, if you're not sure that you can call Him Father, and I'm not talking about the universal fatherhood of God, that is not taught in the Bible. I'm talking about becoming the children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus and being able to call God Father because the Lord Jesus gave us that privilege. And knowing our sins forgiven. If you do not know this, you haven't begun in God's things. For this is elementary knowledge. This is what the babes in Christ all know. Then the second thing is the young men are strong, and they're growing in the Word of God. They know His Word. And that's what makes us strong, virile, useful Christians, getting to know His Word. And then the third thing is, He writes to the fathers, and He says, "I write unto you fathers, and I have written unto you fathers, because you know Him that is from the beginning." Now, there's no higher knowledge than knowing God. and it is possible to know him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever become acquainted with him? Has there come that initial time in your life? Now, please don't think about being sprinkled as a baby or being confirmed in the church or joining the church or getting baptized when you join the church. Please don't think about ordinances and rituals. Just think about your introduction to the Lord Jesus. When did you really come to know him? That's what counts. When did you receive him as your Savior? When could you say, well, I know now because the Bible tells me so, that my sins are put away and that I am God's child? When did that take place? If it hasn't taken place, now is the right time for you to bow your head right there where you are and say, Lord Jesus, I accept thee as my Savior here and now, and thank thee for the forgiveness of sin. And if you do know him, what are you doing about going on to know him better? For the glory of God is that he wants to reveal himself. He wants us to know him well. He wants us to have fellowship with him about everything in our daily life.